Yes, so we are reaching the end of this series, looking at the book of Psalms. Again, you'll notice I'm one of the first people to pronounce that word properly. It's Psalm, rhyming with ham. So that's how you pronounce it. And as Anne said, we've been working our way through for 10 years looking at the book of Psalms. And the Psalms are often described as the prayers of God's people. As a result, they cover the whole range of Christian experience or joy, sorrow, doubt, anger, confidence, peace, thankfulness. All these feelings have a place in the Psalms because all those feelings are things that Christians experience in this world. So it's helpful to think of the Psalms as the prayers of God's people. But we also need to remember the Psalms aren't just prayers. They are songs. They're the songs of God's people. It's a song but made up of songs, often with a tune attached to them. If you look at the title of Psalm 57, we even get a tune to sing this to, of David, to the tune, Do Not Destroy. So again, the Psalms, they're songs that are meant to be sung by God's people. And they remind us of an important truth, actually, that Christians throughout history and throughout the world are people who sing. Any country in the world and any culture in the world, at any point in history, Christians are people who sing the praises of the God who rescues us, who keeps us in his grace. As we look at the psalm together this morning, I want us to ask, well, why is that? Why is singing so important? Because it turns out that it is. Because whether or not we sing God's praises can actually be a matter of life or death for a believer. Because if we don't sing God's praises, we are going to start singing the praises of something or someone else. We'll sing the praises of other people, other things, whether ourselves, whether people we admire, whether things our world tells us will make us happy. But when Christians sing God's praises, we're reminding ourselves of one of the most liberating truths in the gospel. Life is not all about me. Life is about the God who made me and who saves me. Life's not all about me. It's about the God who loves me, who hears my prayer, who helps me in time of need, who gathers his people together. And that's sort of the refrain of this psalm this morning, the chorus, if you like, in verse 5 and verse 11. You notice that's the same statement David says twice. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. See, David sings because life is not all about David. It's about God and about the things that bring God glory in this world. And for David, that is wonderful news. Because in this psalm, David discovers something. He discovers how God receives glory in this world. And it's wonderful news for weak and vulnerable people like David and weak and vulnerable people like us. Because the message of Psalm 57 is that God receives glory by being our refuge. God receives glory by proving to us that if we rest on him, if we trust in him, he is faithful. His love and faithfulness will last. That's the amazing thing. God's glory and our good, they're one and the same thing. We don't have to choose, oh, I'd like God to be glorified, but I want God to look after me. Amazingly, David says here, God is glorified as he looks after his people. And that, David says, is a reason to sing and to keep singing, even in times of fear and distress. So we're going to look at this psalm briefly this morning. And it's worth pointing out, I think as Anne's already said, the psalm begins, for a psalm that kind of talks about singing God's praises, it opens with David feeling far from singing God's praises. David is in trouble here. So from the title, we learn that this psalm is inspired by the time David spent in a cave on the run from King Saul and his soldiers. And in a sense, it's like that, like most of the psalms we've looked at this summer. These psalms are written during David's fugitive years. Now, again, my main exposure to the story of David these days is through children's picture Bibles. And children's picture Bibles are great, but they like to emphasize the positive and the highlights of things. So when I read the story of David in any of the children's Bibles we have at home, David kills Goliath with a sling and becomes Israel's greatest king. Like, it's instantaneous. But actually, it is very different to that. David's path to the throne of Israel was anything but an easy one. Because soon after David killed Goliath, King Saul turned against him. Saul was jealous of David. He knew that God had chosen David to be the next king, and so Saul wanted David dead. And as a result, David spent years on the run from Saul and his forces, and those years were times of extreme distress for David. He was isolated. He was alone. He was at the fear of being betrayed by anyone he met. And David described that time to his friend Jonathan in 1 Samuel. He said this, "There is only a step between me and death." That is how vulnerable David felt. And we get a sense of that in this psalm. If you look down at verse 4, we see David write, "I'm in the midst of lions. I'm forced to dwell among ravenous beasts, men whose teeth are spears and arrows, whose tongues are sharp swords." Or verse 6, "I am bowed down in distress." Or that opening verse where he's so desperate, he's repeating himself, "Have mercy on me, my God, have mercy on me." This is a time of distress and fear for David. And if you pause for a moment, it's worth asking the question, what would the original readers of this psalm, what would the original singers of this psalm have made of this? Again, think of yourself as an ancient Israelite. David is the greatest king you've ever had. He is a man after God's own heart. He rules over Israel when Israel is at the height of its power. And yet an Israelite could listen to this psalm, could sing this psalm, and be able to say to yourself, our king knew what it was like to suffer. Our king experienced fear and distress. Our king suffered on the way to the throne. And that means I can look to him when I am suffering, when I am in fear and distress. I can pray his prayers. I can sing his songs. I can trust in the same God that my king, David, trusted in. And that would have been a great comfort, I believe, to an ancient Israelite. My king knows what it's like to feel afraid, to feel distressed. And of course, you fast forward to today, a Christian reading this psalm. How much more can we say that? Our king knows what it is like to suffer. Our King Jesus, David's great descendant, King David's greater son, knows what it is like to suffer. The prophet Isaiah, he was a man of suffering, familiar with pain. He suffered on his way to the throne. He endured the cross before sitting down at the right hand of God. We can read a psalm like this and think of our king. And then when we feel afraid, we feel distressed, we suffer, we can go to that King Jesus, knowing he understands. He knows what it is like. That's an amazing king to have for the Israelites, an amazing king for us to have as Christians today. So God's people, they will experience times of distress and sorrow in this world. David did, Jesus did, right the way through church history, Christians have suffered. The question only is, where will we turn when that happens? And David wants to share his experience here. And in the first half of the psalm, he just says this, turn to God. God is the one refuge in this world that will not fail us. Now again, you look at this psalm, it's written apparently in a cave. David's hiding from King Saul and his soldiers. So you might say, actually, well, David's found a refuge in this world. He's found a cave and he's hiding in it. It's dark. Saul can't see him. It's a refuge. But David knows that refuge isn't going to be enough. He knows solid rock and darkness and just staying quiet is not enough to keep David safe from his enemies. Only God can help him. Verse 1, "Have mercy on me, my God, have mercy on me, for in you I take refuge. I will take refuge in the shadow of your wings until the disaster has passed." So the God who is our refuge, he's the God who protects his people. And if the picture of God's protection, verse 1, is a cave, in the second verse, it morphs in the middle of that verse into being a very different image. God being a mother bird, offering refuge to its young. I will take refuge, says David, in the shadow of your wings. Again, close to its mother, that young bird knows it is safe. It knows it is being kept close to the one who can protect it. And for David, it is exactly the same for him. He sees the cave above him, but instead of the cave, he feels the outspread wings of God protecting him and keeping him close. And David says to anyone singing this song, that can be your experience too. And then verses 2-3, David talks about the difference knowing that God makes as we cry out to him. Verse 2, I cry out to God Most High, to God who vindicates me. He sends from heaven and saves me, rebuking those who hotly pursue me. God sends forth his love and his faithfulness. This God is a God who responds to our prayers. He's a God of relationship, a God who wants us to cry out to him. Again, that description of God in verse 2, God Most High, it's not a very common description. It basically means God's exalted above all the other gods. And in one sense, we might think, well, that's great, but that means he's a long way away from me. That means he's a long way away from my suffering. But David says, no, he is exalted, he is all-powerful, and he uses his power to help those who trust in him, to offer them shelter and protection. See, David says the God he prays to is bigger than his enemies. He is greater than the struggles he faces, and yet he uses that power, that bigness, to help his people and to offer them shelter and protection. God is your refuge, says David, and he is the only refuge you can trust in this world. And David tells us that because he knows we live in a world that offers plenty of different sorts of refuge. When things get bad, our world says, come here and I will protect you. So we're told we can find refuge in other people, whether that's our family, our friends, a new relationship. And those things can be great gifts from God, but we need to be clear, they're not God. Our family and our friends cannot be physically present with us all the time. They sometimes give bad advice. They will let us down. Only God can be the refuge we can depend on, says David. Our world offers us refuge in things. Whether that's money, whether that's physical fitness, whether it's health, whether it's a nice house, a good job. Again, those things will not last. Or activities, whether it's sex, whether it's eating, whether it's alcohol. Come here, find refuge. David says, no, you alone, God, are my refuge. We live in a noisy world. And David has to sing as loudly as he can to himself and to other people. God is our refuge. He is the refuge that will not fail us, he sings. And he invites us to join with him. God is our refuge because we were created for God. Only with him can we find the rest we were made for. But again, I hope you saw in the psalm, David's also honest with us here. There'll be times when we will doubt that God is our refuge, times when we feel overwhelmed by our struggle and our fear. Verse 4 again, David's enemies feel too strong. I'm in the midst of lions, he says. What can he do? Verse 6, he's just worn down. I was bowed down in distress. How is David meant to respond when everything around him says he is powerless and weak and will be overwhelmed? Well, verse 5 is David's response. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. In the midst of a time when he's probably doubting God's goodness, David sings that song anyway. And there's a sense where I think verse 5, you could read it as a prayer through gritted teeth. It doesn't feel like it right now. I'm in the midst of lions, God. They're digging pits for me. I'm surrounded. I'm overwhelmed. But verse 5, David sings this song anyway. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. David needs to remind himself, God is still God. God is still there for him, even when his circumstances seem to argue he's not. David sings to convince himself of the truth. And in that, he calls us to imitate him. And by the end of verse 6, then, there's a transformation happens as he realizes he's able to trust again that God's enemies won't win out in the end. They dug a pit in my path, verse 6, but they've fallen into it themselves. And so it's from verse 7 that David finishes his psalm praising God, giving thanks to God. And amazingly, by reflecting on the truth we began with, God receives glory through the songs of his people. Again, the Psalms, they are songs to be sung in this world by God's people. And I know that for some of us, we hear that and it kind of turns us off because we're not musical. And then we say, well, I'm tone deaf. I'm not a musician. You know, singing God's praises just doesn't come naturally to me. Maybe the Psalms aren't for me. But again, I think what David is saying when he uses that image of singing is he is saying we are all called to sing God's praises in our lives. It's not restricted to musicians. It's not restricted to what we do on a Sunday morning. No, David urges his heart and his soul to sing. Verse 7, my heart, O God, is steadfast. My heart is steadfast. I will sing and make music. Awake, my soul. Awake, harp and lyre. I will awaken the dawn. I will praise you, Lord, among the nations. I will sing of you among the peoples, for great is your love, reaching to the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the skies. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. See, for David, to sing God's praises in our lives is simply to let the truth of who God is, his love and his faithfulness, begin to transform us, begin to change us. And I think we need to hear him on this. Because often, in my experience, and I know the experience of others, we lack joy as Christians. And sometimes we lack it because we stop short. I know something about God. I know truths about God. That's enough. When actually throughout Scripture, we are urged to ask God to open our eyes in a deeper way to his love and his faithfulness, to experience more of that in our lives here and now. Not stopping with just truths about God, but asking God, help me to see the reality of that right now. I remember hearing a pastor's wife a few years ago. She was sharing at a conference, I was at openly, that sort of for years her Christian life had been one of sort of cold duty, of sort of low-level guilt. And so the insight she came up with was this. I just remember she put it so well. She said, for years I knew the words of the gospel, but I didn't know the music of the gospel. I knew the words of the gospel, but not the music of the gospel. I think when David urged us to sing, he's urging us to listen to the music of the gospel, to let the gospel impact us, to let it move us. Let it grip our hearts. And to do that, we need to cry out to God and ask him to do that. But that is a great desire for any of us to have as individuals and as a church. And it's a desire that actually ultimately brings glory to God. Ultimately, it's a prayer that God loves to answer. Again, we thought a minute ago, if we don't sing God's praises, we're just going to sing about something or someone else. So David says, praise the God of grace, the God of love and faithfulness. Put your trust in him and you will discover he is your refuge. You will discover he is glorious. Because we live in a world where the pressure is on not to sing songs to God, not to give him his honor. The pressure's on from people around us who say it's just crazy to do that. The pressure's on from ourselves, actually. Our hearts are often cold. But that is why this psalm tells us, sing. Sing until you sing. Sing until you feel like singing. Remember who your God is. He is your refuge and your strength. And as you do that, God receives glory by proving himself to be faithful and gracious, even in the cave, even in that time of distress. The astonishing truth in this psalm is that when David prays, be exalted, O God, let your glory be over all the earth, he is also praying, Lord, show yourself to be my refuge. Show yourself to be the God of love and faithfulness. Your word tells me you are. God's glory and our good, they are the same thing. And we can praise God for that. So David tells us, sing this song. Even when you don't always feel like it, even when you struggle to believe it, because God is glorious. God is our refuge, and he will prove that to you as we put our trust in him. Let me pray for us. Let's pray. Father God, we do confess that our hearts often are cold towards you. We confess that actually we can doubt that you really are our refuge and our strength, that we can struggle to sing a song of praise to you in a world that rejects you. But Lord, please, would you teach us from David to sing the song of who you are, even when we do not feel like it, because Lord, to sing of your praise is to respond rightly to the gospel. Lord God, we need your help in this, but thank you that the truth of who you are and your grace and your mercy is never changing. Would you strengthen us with that truth this week, we ask. For Jesus' sake, amen.